Graduate Teacher Learning Series podcast channel. I'm Ben and I will be hosting this session. In this podcast series, we will be talking to graduate teachers, mentors, and experts about a variety of different topics that relate to each edition's framing question. We will also get the graduates and mentors to share some reflections on their practices that may assist you in yours. Okay, so sit back and relax and let's get into this edition of the Graduate Teacher Learning Series podcast, talking to an expert. Can you please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about where you are working and your history in education?
Hi, I'm Linda. I've recently joined the Victorian Institute of Teaching as their principal practitioner and I've been there about 2 months now. And principal practitioner is really just a fancy name for managing the professional practice team. And I also consult across the organisation and put some teacher eyes on things that happen. My background is as a secondary school teacher in history and legal studies. And most recently, I was assistant principal at a large P12 government school looking after curriculum and professional learning.
And hi, I'm Hannah. I'm a secondary school teacher as well. And funnily enough, my methods are history and legal studies too. I worked for a few years at a private school in country Victoria and then at a fairly alternative government school in Melbourne where I was in a wellbeing leadership role. I joined VIT about 2 years ago and now work in our professional practice team where we mainly work with graduate teachers and mentors and the Australian Professional Standards for Teachers.
Can you briefly explain the purpose of the VIT portfolio and what it means to graduates?
I'm really glad you brought that up. The name portfolio is actually a bit misleading and something that we hear a lot. Portfolio sounds like you need to do an assignment for university or something separate from the work that you'd normally do as a teacher. What you're actually doing is documenting evidence to show you're moving from the graduate standard that you achieved at the end of your university course to a proficient standard teacher by using your everyday practice. It really just provides you with an example of how to affect positive change in the classroom. And it's something that we would hope that teachers continue to use when they're refining their classroom practice throughout their careers. Hannah, do you want to talk about the details?
Okay, so when a teacher graduates from their teaching degree, they're deemed to have met the graduate teacher level of the standards. And by the way, when I'm talking about the standards, we're talking about the Australian Professional Standards for Teachers. Provisional registration is a period of time for you to demonstrate that your practice is developing from graduate to proficient. And during this time, you'll need to be inducted into teaching and have opportunities to work with experienced colleagues who can provide you with feedback on your practice. The inquiry approach that we use is designed to align with your workplace induction. It requires you to work with more experienced colleagues and should provide opportunities for collegial practice and professional observation to help you reflect on the effectiveness of your practice. The full registration process provides VIT, who's the regulator for the profession, with the assurance that teachers can actually demonstrate the standards at the proficient teacher level.
Can you briefly explain the provisional registration and how graduates move to full registration?
Sure. So provisional registration is granted for 2 years and during this time you'll need to teach for at least 80 days in Australian or New Zealand schools or early childhood EC services. The teaching days don't have to be in a row and they don't have to be in one workplace. So if you're working as a CRT, you can start to count your days from now on. You'll also need to gather evidence that your practice meets the standards at the proficient teacher level and you'll do this using VIT's inquiry approach. The inquiry approach is based on the Timperley model, which you can read about more on our website, but it's not unlike what most schools base their instructional models on. Provisionally registered teacher, or PRTs, as I was saying, have 2 years to complete the process, but generally we recommend that when you're actually implementing your action plan, that's over a 4 to 6 week period. Now, that's if you're working as a full-time teacher, but it might take you a little bit longer if your situation's different. So if you're a CRT or a specialist teacher, like a music teacher, and only see your students once a week. Once you've finished your inquiry and gathered all of your evidence, you'll then present this to a workplace panel.
How can graduates pick their inquiry question?
that's another really good question and one that we do get a lot. Our advice would be to align your inquiry question with your school or your services focus. For instance, if your workplace is focusing on literacy circles, marry up your inquiry question to that because it'll mean you're already undertaking a lot of the process as part of your job. For example, you might already be doing professional learning, professional discussions, and in some cases, observations around what that focus is. So why wouldn't you use that? It doesn't have to be around the workplace focus. It could be based on an area of your interests. You might have done some research and come across a strategy or a method that you think could apply really well to your classroom and want to investigate that a little bit further. The particular learning needs of your class might actually guide your inquiry question to help you get the best outcomes for that group. On the VIT website, vit.vic.edu.au, there's more specific guidance about how to form an inquiry question. And there's a really good article there as well with an infographic about how to use the SMART strategy.
What tips can you give a graduate around collecting evidence against the Australian Professional Standards for Teachers?
So the evidence you gather should be as a result of your normal everyday teaching practice. For instance, unit plans, lesson plans, notes from meetings and discussions with colleagues, parents, and students, and of course, examples of student work. There are probably four key types of evidence. So it can be anything that you say, anything you write, anything you make, and anything you do that's related to your inquiry. And remember that one piece of evidence can cover multiple standards and descriptors. So, for instance, a unit plan will cover a lot of professional practice because it includes things like learning goals, teaching activities, and your assessments as well. So you don't need 37 different pieces of evidence. There might be some things that don't fit neatly into your inquiry, like you might be teaching something that doesn't require any ICT, but if you did that last term, you might include evidence of that. But remember that any of the evidence that you collect needs to have been since you are a provisionally registered teacher, so you can't include any of the evidence that you collected when you're on placement at university.
What does it mean to present to a panel?
I suppose no matter how much time you spend trying to reassure people, people always get nervous about the idea of presenting to a panel because it's the unknown. But to put your mind at ease, you need, I suppose, to really prepare. It is a celebration of your work and you need to keep that in the back of your mind. Before you go to panel, sit down with your mentor and do the checklist to make sure everything's there. That way you can make sure that you've got everything that you need and you don't have to worry about that aspect going in. The panel will generally consist of your principal or their delegate, so that might be an assistant principal or a leading teacher, or if you're in an early childhood setting, that'll be a relevant leader there. It'll have a VIT-trained mentor and another fully registered teacher who knows your practice. Don't get too caught up with the idea of the panel. As I said, it's just a celebration of your work. When I was an assistant principal, I actually really enjoyed being on the panels because I got to see all the great work the teachers were doing. It actually made me quite homesick for the classroom. So the panel can be a general discussion or a discussion with some guiding questions, but it's all based on the evidence that you've collected, so it's all right there in front of you. The structure will vary depending upon what works best for you and your workplace, so I'd advise you to talk to your workplace before the panel about how it's all going to operate so there are no surprises. You've got 2 years to do it, as Hannah said, and we would advise that you don't rush it. Make sure you talk to your mentor and you decide together whether you're ready to go to panel because we want it to be a positive experience for you. So after that, once the panel is satisfied that all 37 descriptors are met, they will make a recommendation and it gets processed through the VIT, and the happy outcome will be that you are a fully registered member of the teaching profession.
What tips can you give a graduate around presenting their evidence?
Yeah, I think we really need to remember that it's not a university project or a portfolio. There's no word count or literature review or any need to make references. The evidence you gather should be the things you're already doing in your everyday teaching practice. Try to relax and understand it's a final celebration of your work. You'll have support during the process and when you're presenting. Your workplace wants you to succeed, and so does VIT. No one's trying to trip you up. Hannah, anything you want to add?
So I would suggest that you've got multiple copies of your evidence for panel members and give them a copy a couple of days beforehand. That way, as you were saying a bit earlier, Linda, it makes sure that there's nothing missing, and if there are any issues, you can actually address them before you go to your panel. It also means that they've already had an opportunity to actually read through your evidence beforehand, which just makes the meeting go a little bit more smoothly. Make sure you actually annotate your evidence clearly to identify where the standards are and where you're demonstrating them. It makes it a lot easier for the panel members to be able to know where you've demonstrated all of the standards. There are heaps of resources on VIT's website. We've got videos to walk you through each step of the process. There's podcasts, examples of evidence from lots of different settings, and a template and checklist as well. But probably most importantly, make sure that you've read through our Supporting Provisionally Registered Teachers Guide. And if you're a CRT or working in a non-traditional setting like a zoo or a museum, also read through our CRT Companion Guide, which has some extra tips and tricks for you. And if you've got any questions, just make sure you speak with your mentor or contact VIT. There's lots of people here to help.
And that's it for the Graduate Teacher Learning Series podcast. Thank you to our guests for sharing their experiences, and thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.